podcast where we spout off the news. Those who drink in a well.
What's your name?
I'm Kevin Tinkin. With me always is Garth. I got Jane here.
Hello.
Fancy feet Fosse.
It's the lady. Fancy on the lady.
Man, it's lady, not feet. Okay.
Every week.
I told you. And I also got Sarah here.
That's my name.
Don't wear it out.
Don't wear it out.
We got some stuff today, a little sermon discussion about he is.
He is Redeemer.
He's Redeemer.
That's right, Kev.
Yeah. We also got Karen.
Karen
Price.
Yes.
Karen Price.
She
is also here.
The communications director here at the Well Community Church.
And she's going to be talking with us for a while. This feels great, by the way, guys. This feels so
feels
fluid.
So weird.
This is awesome.
This is how I like to put out the vibe. This is how I like to.
Okay, well, I'm feeling it. And speaking of vibes, Sarah, you picked the music this week. Who is it?
That's right. Milo Green. They are a great band. They opened for the Civil Wars when they were on tour, and they're just real good. I saw them live. They were fantastic. So
real good.
Just real good.
They're real, real good.
A lot of the good.
How much?
All the good.
All of the goods.
Just all the goods.
All the goods. And speaking of good, if you haven't figured it out already, Christian's not here. So, I'm transitioning to say that he's having a good time at Camp Hammer with his junior hires. So,
really?
Christian, we miss
you. Did you want to go on that trip?
Yeah.
It sure isn't as cold in here as it usually is with you here, because we turned off the AC.
Yeah.
Last time you guys wanted an AC on, and it was really cold in here.
Yeah, but a couple weeks ago, it was hot in
my
here.
My tears were freezing on my cheeks.
Oh, my gosh.
We're hot,
you're such
and
a
we're cold.
Sissy Lala.
Yes, and we're no, Lala. You know.
Mm. Fair enough.
Sissy.
All right.
Lala.
Well, thanks again for joining us for episode 64. Are we at 64?
I don't know. No one's confirming or denying.
It backs to me, so who knows if we're at 64 or not. But, oh, yeah, 64. Just a thumbs up confirmation. So stay tuned for a little Milo Green and enjoy the show.
I want you to fast forward to the time of Christ and think about this for a moment. Here now are these people, the Israelites of old, who have this messianic hope. And they're waiting for Daniel's picture of a Messiah. They're waiting for the he of Genesis 3:15, the promise. They're waiting, they're wanting, they're longing. And then here comes Jesus on the scene. Unorthodox a little bit for them, but they're putting the pieces together going, well, okay, Bethlehem, Nazareth, okay, miracles. That's fascinating. He seems to be doing things that not a normal person would be able to do. Maybe this is the guy. And so maybe he's going to establish his throne on the earth. Maybe this is our Messiah we've waited for. And then he was arrested. And then he was sentenced to death. And then he was crucified. And then he died. And in that moment, all of their hope of him being the guy were shattered. Question, what happened when he died? Do you remember? When he died, something very specific happens. The veil was torn.
All right, and that is a clip from Brad's message this past Sunday. Continuing our sermon series, He Is, and the message last week was He Is Redeemer. So basically, Brad went back to Genesis 3, where we were the week before, talking about Adam and Eve and when they sinned in the garden and how God provided a covering for them. And I really geeked out on that whole thing, which was really cool. And then also he in the clip he just talked about talking about how when Jesus died, the veil's torn. So there's no need for the Holy of Holies anymore and a priest to intercede on your behalf. We now have full access to Jesus Christ. And also when he took it back to Job and that whole thing and hit two on Hebrews 10. So I thought for me, it was like probably one of the best sermons I've heard just maybe because of where it was.
Ever or
well no like in this series I think it was the one that I've resonated with the most. I think I don't know, maybe it's like a little girly. Maybe Kevin, you don't see it this way because you're not a girl.
Well, it's are you not right? Always obvious.
But I just love that picture of having a redeemer and having someone who I don't know. In a weird way, I feel like it kind of ties into protection, which is something that is important to me, and just that whole view of Jesus in that scheme of things is really cool. So, Kevin.
Yes. Well, I can see that. You know, the church being the bride of Christ.
For sure.
You know, and I'm not a woman, as you so eloquently pointed
thanks
out.
Thanks for confirming that.
But there is a lot of romance associated with being a bride and things like that, and that kind of protection. I'm not saying romance, like this is a romantic thing, but I'm picking up what you're putting down, Jane, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I found it, and I picked it up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was very good. I loved the picture that he painted of the priest who might have been working in the area.
Right.
What are you, right? The area?
Tabernacle?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Feels right. We're scholars, all right, guys?
Obviously.
But the picture of being in there and knowing the stories of how many, you know, of stuff that has gone down.
Yeah.
And then having, you know, witnessing the veil being torn.
For
that
sure.
The sheet, this thick, heavy sheet being torn, and how much he must have been scared. You know,
for his life.
Point. Yeah.
Like, I'm about to die.
Oh,
and they're going to have to drag me out by the rope tied around my ankle.
Yeah. I'm not wearing my bells right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I loved when he talked through the background of that. And I did Academy a couple semesters ago where we went through the major books of the Old Testament. And I think Jared spoke on that part. But I specifically loved the timing of it where Jesus died at 3 p.m. when that was the afternoon sacrifice. So it was like, I like that because it just shows that everything is so planned. Like it wasn't just, oh, wow, that's cool. It worked out at 3 o'clock. Wasn't planning that, but hey, it makes me look real good. You know,
I really like
when those things like line up that gets me pretty geeked out.
I never knew that he died at 3 p.m. at the same time as the afternoon sacrifice.
Yeah.
And he said that yesterday, and I was totally blown away.
Brain
like,
exploded.
I love that my brain exploded.
Yeah, to pick
I feel
it
like
up
I
on
say
the
that
people
all the time,
next to you.
So I tried not to.
Excuse me, sorry.
I think I was saying by myself. But anyways, whatever.
Relevant.
I didn't know that. And so I get kind of geeky when it comes to this type of thing. And so I checked all my other notes in my Bible and cross references and stuff. And it's just cool that there's just even more confirmation that this is such a supernatural thing. And this wasn't an accident. And yeah, like the little details aren't accidents. And my heart gets stirred with this type of thing. Cause, with the whole, especially with the curtain being torn, that for some reason really moves me because we now have complete access to the throne of the creator of the universe and we didn't before. And that it was torn from top to bottom. Like someone didn't come and tear it to represent that, but it was torn. And I love that I think it's in the end of Matthew. In Matthew's account of Jesus dying, it's a really vivid picture of it too. I say it's like Matthew 27 or something. Go read it. Actually, I think Brad talked about it yesterday, but it is just moving that his death is so powerful and it affects for the rest of eternity. It affects our whole life and every day.
Yeah. Anyway. I like, too, the picture of how Jesus is like our covering and how his blood is what covers over our sin. And he said something about man attempting to cover their sin back with Adam and Eve, but sin can only be covered by Christ. And
there has to be bloodshed.
Yeah, and how sin brings death, but God provided a sacrifice to cover our sin. Mm-hmm. So just that cool picture of we've been completely provided for. And it's just really cool.
Even the word redeemer means to buy back.
Yeah.
And so that Christ is our redeemer. By Christ dying, he bought us back.
Yeah.
Because we're always his. I mean, we were slaves of sin, and now we are now slaves of righteousness. So even the word, when you break it down, it is really
rebought.
Yep.
Deemed.
Yeah. We were redeemed.
It's a trip.
Isn't it?
It's a trip. I want to get into your guys' notes, but I was just thinking that I don't know. It's shameful. It really is shameful. The way in which I feel that I approach God, and it's kind of downer. Like I was thinking about that right now, just because of the weight and the seriousness that they had when you entered the Holy of Holies, and how intense. You make one false move and you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that fear of God that I think is so much diluted today, you know, that I mean, at least in my life. And the way in which I approach God does not have that respect all the time, you know, that just and just to bring my best and that type of stuff. And I try to do those things, but I'm just kind of like, you know, you guys, you just talk to God. What's the big deal? You know, and I'll even go as far as kind of rip on people who get a little bit, you know, super hyper spiritual in their prayers. Mm. You know, there's a lot of TH words in there, thouith.
Thine.
Yeah, but, you know, I not that I think that that's how one should pray, unless that's what I naturally pray. But, yeah, anyway, sorry.
No, that's good.
It's interesting, like, because there is a balance between. Like, because it says we can cry out to him, Abba Father, which means like daddy, you know, like we can come to him boldly and talk to him at, like he is our friend. But then there's a reverence there because he one false move. Yeah. And people were dead.
Yeah.
So there is an interesting balance that
fine line.
Yeah. Yeah. There's how can you be reverent and be bold at the same time?
Or personable, even in a weird sense. Yeah.
Because he knows everything that's going on inside of you, so you don't have to pretend to be something you're not, but be respectful at the same time. Because, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. No?
Mm-hmm. What else you got, Sarah?
Oh, what else do I have on here? I really liked that passage from Job.
Oh, my gosh. I have it.
Read it.
And I was going to save it to the end and, like, close it out. But I think it's okay to do now because it was really good. So it was Job 19:25. And how Brad explained it, how Job is, like, the, like, prophet before all prophets or whatever.
Job was the first book ever written in the Bible.
And yeah.
Really?
Yep. There thank you, Academy.
Very good.
That's what I learned.
And just how, like, there was no way for him to know there was going to be a redeemer. Like,
yeah.
Right? I'm saying
like,
that right?
Yeah. Like, no one told him that.
Right,
it was
right,
just
right.
Inspiration from the Lord. Yeah.
So, I loved it too when he read Job 19:25. It kind of gave me the chills a little
me
bit.
Me too.
For I know that my redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. I thought that was super cool. How could he know that? But he had such confidence in it. And even like in my own self, do I have the confidence to like proclaim those things? Or do I have the confidence to, I have all the truth that I need, but do I have the confidence to believe it? And here's a man who didn't have that truth, but he had confidence that there was more to come in a redeemer for us.
And like he all he had a relationship with the Lord. He didn't have like, you know, sermons and Bible studies and stuff. And we do have those things. We do have all those resources. And yeah, I still want bigger signs. You know, like, I know I have all these things, but okay, but is that really real, Lord? Like, I don't really believe that. And all Job had, like, he didn't have everything that we have. And
well, and look at his life at this point. Everything been taken away from him. And he's living in, like, the crummiest circumstances of it all. And he stands there and says that.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
No, I'd say, take me now because I'm done.
Well, Job did say that.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Kill me.
I think that my book of the Bible would be really rough. I think they would. They'd be like, the book of Kevin's not going to make it.
the book of Kevin didn't make the cut.
Yeah,
canon.
It's just like, it's bad.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have read it, Kev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, for sure.
Thank you.
On audiobook, though.
Yeah, for sure.
I would listen to it. Right.
Uh-huh. Something else is, when we were talking about how Adam and Eve covered themselves and then God had to create a different covering, when it says that God created, killed an animal and gave him the skins to cover, the word cover, I learned this in residency, the word cover literally translated means to atone. And so when God covered them, God atoned them.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so even that word atonement and that word atoning, you know, that's meaning covering. And so.
And how that was the first animal sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy to me. I mean, when he said it, it was like, oh, of course that makes total sense. But when he said it, it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That definitely was. Yeah. That whole thing made me think of like when I was a kid and I like, I don't know what I did. Like, I mean, I was not a very good kid.
Really?
No,
I was terrible.
Wait, kid,
I was really
kid.
Rebellious. I was terrible to my mom. And
through,
I got
high school
into,
and everything?
No, I snapped out of it like maybe junior high.
Okay.
But I just got in trouble all the time. I tested my limits with my mom so badly. But when I would like do something wrong, just remembering how I would try to cover it up of like, I gotta hide this from mom and dad because I am gonna get in so much trouble. And let's be honest, you don't want dad to spank you because my dad is a big guy. And when he winds up with a wooden spoon, it is no bueno for Jane's backside.
Daddy's hands, they were soft when I was crying. Right?
I don't know that song.
Did you write this song?
No, come on. You don't know Daddy's Hands?
No.
Daddy's Hands are hard as steel when I done wrong.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Man, nope. Kev.
You guys don't know this
song?
No,
who sings it?
Daddy's Hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand.
Oh.
There was always love in Daddy's
hands.
Oh,
okay.
You guys don't remember that song?
No, I've never heard that song before.
No, and nobody is like confirming in the booth either.
No.
Nobody's
no one's even
it.
Listening in the booth.
Somebody look up Daddy's Hands, I'm telling you.
Okay, we will. We'll talk about it in the last segment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sing during the sermon discussion, by the way, guys. Just FYI.
Okay, thanks for the heads up.
Sure.
2 minutes late.
Yes.
So... just thinking about as a kid, like how I would try to cover my own sin in that case and how, I mean, my parents weren't, they never like atoned for my bad doing or whatever. Mm-hmm. There were times when they, for me as a child, grace was a big word because they'd say, Jane, we're going to give you grace and you're not going to get punished, but you have to realize this, this, and this. Mm. So.
That's nice.
It was, and I would always use it. Can't you give me grace?
Well,
no, you get the spoon. My parents were not abusive
spare
by any
the
means.
Spoiled child.
Oh, I was not spoiled. So just thinking about that of like what Adam and Eve went through to cover what they'd done, and in all of it, the Lord provided an atonement for them, and that's just a cool picture.
And it really, I feel like with this series, the goal of it was to make the Bible more holistic and less two books into one. And I feel like that's exactly what it's doing, helping do for me, because they talk about atonement in Genesis 3 and in the New Testament. And it's really building a lot of bridges for me and my brain personally.
That's cool. Yeah.
What about you guys?
No, I've been loving the series. I think it's great.
Kevin, do you like the series?
I do like the series. It's very good.
You're just quiet over there.
Yeah, no, it's great. I was just thinking about
your song,
Daddy's Hands.
Daddy's Hands.
No, but how pathetic. I know God sees us trying to cover our sin as pathetic as well. But just like there's literally been times where Will has, you know, peed the bed. And I'm like, do you pee? No. Nope.
and you're looking at it right there.
There's a lot of moisture on the bed here, Will. I'm pretty sure you peed. No, not me. It's like, oh, all right, fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, it's got to be that much ridiculousness. And then I wonder what accounts for us covering. Like if this is, you know, like when you go to heaven and you say, I did all these things in your name and I never knew you and whatnot. But if that's covering, you know, if that's the covering that seems ridiculous, like all the things that we do, like I would imagine in my moment of like fear and craziness, if I'm at judgment, like, whoa, you know, you're in heaven. And, you know, I know the right word to tell God for the reason why I should get into heaven would be his son. But I'd probably be like, hey, I did a spout cast and I played drums for the worship team. He's like, you're an idiot. Like, you learned nothing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was thinking about.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Those are great thoughts.
And I keep seeing your pink streak of hair.
I have pink in my hair.
That's cool.
It has nothing to do with the sermon.
No, it doesn't. That's how I
just
divert.
Just throwing Kevin off.
Yeah, no, sorry.
So I think that was a good little...
Absolutely. Let me ask you this.
Oh, ask us. Oh.
So I try to think about, so based on what we've learned, what does that mean for how we live our lives?
Mm-hmm.
So... like, that's one of the things I try to think about. Okay, that's great, Brad. Thanks for all that history. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for me? So I don't know what it means for me. I mean, I guess my ultimate thought was that it would mean I would approach my relationship with Christ with a little bit more respect, you mm-hmm. know, a little bit more humility. I don't mm-hmm. know if that's the right word. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it makes me see Christ in kind of a more real way, just to see it not just in the New Testament, but to see even pre or now, not really, you know, like seeing signs of Jesus through the whole Bible and not just my New Testament where he's born and lives a life. So for me, it's made me see Christ in and even the Trinity as more of like a unified thing. I don't know mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Continuity through the Old Testament.
Yeah, for sure.
That seems to be kind of where what they're trying to do. So that's good.
I think for me, it adds like maybe more layers or dynamic to the way I see Christ. Like you did this for me. Like almost adds like more depth to my appreciation mm-hmm. for him. And seeing like, oh, my salvation was talked about in Genesis 3 and that it's a personal thing. It's not just a story, but my life, it matters. Like this is what for sure. My salvation is about. And I'm reading a book right now and it kind of was talking about atonement and how God loves us based off of the one-time sacrifice of Christ, not based off of how much we love him that day or how much we read our Bible that week, but God, his love for us is completely consistent because Christ died once and for all, and that doesn't waver day by day like our emotions or our feelings do. So that's encouraging to me because I feel like I don't know if I love God that much this week. He feels really far away. Mm-hmm. No, he's just as close. I'm the one who's mm-hmm. having a hard time. His love is still the exact same amount of outpouring, you know? Mm-hmm. So, that's I was kind of connecting the dots for me with what I was reading. So, anyways,
cool. Good question, Kev.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
That's a great question.
I always got to ask that because otherwise I lose track.
We should talk. We should do that at the end of all the sermon discussions.
Wrap ups.
Yeah,
that was great.
Concluding remarks.
So, did you have more to say?
I was just gonna say if you got anything, listeners out there, you know, if there's anything that you feel like there's a life application.
Yeah.
Throw it our way because we're just, I mean, you'll notice that a lot of us are rambling, you know, and a lot of these things, you know, there's still good stuff, but throw the knowledge.
Yeah.
Throw the knowledge
down. We'd love to hear. Yeah. Hey,
Jinx there.
Hey. Owe me a Coke.
We'd love to hear feedback from anyone on how the, how this summer series is, playing into your life, changing the way that you mm-hmm. you see things or think about things, or even those moments of your brain exploding. And mm-hmm. those are cool too. So this coming week is going to be He is Emmanuel. So we are going to have Jared at midweek, and then PJ will be hitting at North AM. Jared uh-huh. will be back for North PM. He's also teaching Clovis in the morning. Uh-huh. So Jared's up five times this week. And then we've got Mike Slayton at Fig.
What?
So cool.
Very cool.
And then if you attend Kingsburg, Adam Amperon, the spiritual formation guy over there, is he is getting his time to shine at Kingsburg.
And he's
so.
Never taught before, so this will be really yeah. cool. Yeah.
So, that concludes the sermon discussion. Uh-huh. Stay tuned for an interview with Karen Price and enjoy some more Milo Green.
Interview. What?
All right.
Sorry, I got newscaster on us.
I never opened the segment, so I don't know how to do it. All right, and we're back. We have Karen Price, Hello. Our one and only executive producer Ooh, here in wow. the studio. We speak of you sometimes while you're not here.
Oh, what do you say?
The legends have told. That Uh-oh. Karen Price exists.
Uh-oh. So we have her in the flesh with us. Karen, Ooh, hello, say hello.
Hi.
We have talked about getting you on the show. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, now that Christian's gone, we got you. So take that, yeah. Dad.
When they told Christian, I said, we're going to try to get Karen. He's like, oh, yeah, good luck.
He's like, no chance.
Well, yeah. Now Jane books the interviewees. So
that's right.
Says something.
Karen, nice. I have a question.
Yes.
Have you ever listened to the Spoutcast before?
I have listened to the Spoutcast when Christian first started and he kept coming in. Is it good? Is it bad? I was like,
so
oh,
you heard
keep
it when
going.
It wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Grassroots.
Yeah.
So. Well, have you listened to any recent episodes?
I haven't. I'm sorry.
That's totally okay. Maybe you'll listen to this one.
I know. I probably will.
Okay, tell us what you do here at The Well.
It's going to be amazing. I am officially the communications director, which means my team is made up of web production, video, graphic design. We also have social media, breaking into Facebook and Twitter, mm-hmm. all that mm-hmm. fancy stuff.
And Instagram.
And oh, Instagram, yeah. yes. Mm-hmm.
I think we've had everyone from your team on except Calm and Janie. Is that right? We had Jeff Richmond.
Yeah.
We've had Chris Hensley, uh-huh. Casey Jackson.
We haven't had Calm.
Pat. Right. Calm
Did
and
you just
Janie.
Say that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Calm and Janie. Great.
Well, my team is brilliant. They're brilliant. Yes. They come up with the best innovative ideas. They just blow me away. Wow. So it's awesome.
And okay, so last weekend we had something special go on here at the at all the campuses.
Yeah,
why don't you tell us about what happened?
Okay. First of all, I'm totally taking credit for this. Normally, like no idea is
Do it.
Mine.
Own it.
But yes. this one is mine. So we got to tag our church, and I can't tell you how cool that was. So if you've walked around our building, it's pretty awesome. I was told we were gonna repaint the exterior of North. And so when we were trying to come up with something cool and creative to do for He Is, I just said, hey, let's graffiti it. And my team looked at me and they were like, okay. And I went into Brad's office and I said, I want to tag the North Campus. And he's like, okay. I was like, yes. So I had Hale go out, who's our facilities director, and he got me all kinds of spray paint. And it's been a lot of fun.
So you walked around the campus or drove around the campus before you came here, and you like it? You think it turned out great?
I love it. Yeah.
It's funny, like, the response of people from the community that don't go to the Well. Like, my parents go to another church, and I saw them yesterday. My mom was like, Sarah, what's going on at the church? I mean, there's been some tagging there. Like, yeah, the Christian gangs are really acting up, you know?
It's like Mad Max.
It was awesome. And there's lots of, like, other phone calls, like, going on. Like, just there's a big buzz about it. So.
And some people couldn't do it. Like, we started Thursday morning. We had midweek canceled because of 4th of July. So Thursday morning, Brad did the sermon. And so it was a mix of staff and some of the congregation from Wednesday night. And some people had the spray can in their hand and they literally couldn't paint the building. They just,
what?
I was like, I can't, they couldn't, I mean, I didn't have a problem.
Why?
I
painted Why? What was the, what's you the hesitation? Went for it. Why would they?
Like there was something about graffitiing that they just couldn't bring themselves to do.
It took me a while. I had an issue and I walked around picking at my fingernails a lot because I had anxiety about it. I just thought, this is the beginning of something that we could be potentially dangerous for us. But then I saw
what kind of danger would come out.
Danger in the sense of like people are gonna come tag us now and we're gonna be like a target in a sense.
Okay.
Or we could get fined by the city.
I saw
or,
Jane tagging up a boxcar by the train tracks the other
that's
day.
That's not true.
Yeah, no, it's true.
She's but like, I did see an old lady. I shouldn't call her old. An older woman. on old Thursday she? Morning, she came out and she seemed hesitant. And Brad handed her a can of spray paint. And she handed me her Bible. And she went after it. She tagged two things. So I thought, okay, if she can do it, I can do it.
What did she write?
I don't remember.
I hope it was something good, like pearl earrings.
It was probably really sweet.
Pearl earrings in the house. Like, that's just, I don't know. It's like you said, like I pictured an old lady who's just in love with her pearl earrings. Like,
I surrender my pearl earrings. Yeah.
So what did you tag, Karen?
Oh,
do you mind sharing?
I will share. I went out and tagged Second Chance. So that's he cool. is Second Chances to me. So that was awesome. It was really awesome. And to watch people, I mean, it was confessional, it was worship, it was theology. Everyone just chose something different, and it was good and bad. Like, it was across the board, and just the illustrations, too. Like, people who could really graffiti. Like, it was like, oh, that person probably does that on the side.
Yeah.
Illegally.
Like, you know, you're like, that looks really good.
Too good.
So, yeah, that like was
Doc
it was
Hansen's
very cool.
Just amazing artist with a spray can. Like, that'd be amazing.
He probably didn't do it. He can't ruin his hands. That's
yeah,
true.
That's true.
How long have you been here at the well?
Oh, gosh. It's going to be 3 years in October, which has gone by super, super fast.
And where were you before?
Which is funny. Okay, so this is my story. So as I'm sitting here in this studio, the last time I was in a studio was actually at my last job. I was a creative director for an advertising agency in town. And when we would do TV and radio spots for clients, a lot of them didn't have budget, so they needed to hire cheap talent, which basically meant like I was sitting in the studio or on the TV spot. And I remember my very, very first role when I started there was the client was Rally's Hamburgers. Do you guys even, like, do you even still have those?
Yeah. They're the best fries ever.
Okay. Well, they're not, I don't know. I haven't been, well, probably because I have traumatic
experiences. It's one at Shaw and West, so.
Got it.
Sarah frequents that quite often.
Yeah. My dad works around there. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's good. Okay, go ahead. I remember they were like, okay, we need a cabana girl. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Cabana?
I'm talking like fruit bowl on my head.
No.
It's like middle of December. It's like a pool scene.
It's like a grass skirt and everything.
Yeah, I'm like pale white. Like, this makes no sense.
So funny.
It makes sense.
Was it on TV?
Yeah. Oh, it was on TV. Yeah.
Oh, could we YouTube it?
No.
Oh, okay. Not available for viewing.
It's not available.
I might have some connections. I mean, to get in contact with your old job.
Yeah.
You're in the market to be here.
No, I know some people where Karen used to work, so I might be able to get a hold of that.
Oh, okay. You're going to dig up the dirt, huh, Kev?
And what's cool is I used to work with Casey. So Casey, who's one of our graphic designers at the Well, he worked with me at the agency, so that was really cool when he came over. So
when you – did he come over first or did you come
over
first?
I came over first.
Okay.
And it was actually it's kind of funny. Brad said, can I talk to Casey before I hire you? I'm like, that's fine. So he calls Casey. He's like, should I hire Karen? Would you like to work with her? And so he was like, yep. So
awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So. Just a quick question. You think, yeah, for sure. All right, she's hired.
Okay, that's good. Because Brad really wanted Casey, so I was just kind of like, well, we'll take Karen if Casey will eventually come over. So he just had to make sure. Good. But, yeah.
So were you hired on as the communications director, or did your role morph into that?
No, that's what I was hired on as. The role was a little different than who held it before me. It was more of a... My role became more of a managerial role.
Okay.
Whereas I think prior it had kind of been a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. this was more trying to streamline the creative process and manage basically the players. And as the well was growing, you know, the team was growing. So it got a little more things to juggle.
Do you, you are one of the only women in
the communications department.
And what's funny, is Janie and Jesse, yes. who I forgot to mention before. So as
they don't work back there in the creative room, though.
So you're in we call it the creative cave because it was a closet and there are no windows.
It was a storage room, no windows.
So how is that for you?
It's good. It's good. I will tell you that at the agency, it was all guys as well. Okay. I don't know, there's something about that skill set that guys typically have.
Yeah.
Just being creative, you mean?
Not necessarily being creative.
That was a jab.
Good joke.
They talk about gigabyte switches and Drobos and Roku boxes, and
I don't even understand what you said either.
Got it all.
Great. So I don't understand it either. I just nod my head, and I just memorize it and repeat it to other people so then I sound good.
Yeah.
But it's really...
It's not what we all do to some degree. Just memorize big words and just pray that you're using it correctly in a sentence. At least that's me.
But you know, the guys are great. It's easy to work with guys. I think, I don't know, if it was a whole room, a whole cave of girls, it could get a little
interesting.
That's
more my department.
Yeah.
We're the group of girls.
Yeah.
I prefer the man cave.
It is easier to work with guys. They're
less talkative.
Less drama.
And less drama.
But is it cold back there? I would guess that it's probably pretty cold.
Emotionally cold and with the temperature.
The guys are pretty quiet. It's quiet and it is cold. I have a little space heater. And all the guys usually wear, what are the ear thingies?
They're miniature speakers you put in your ears.
You walk around and everyone's got these things in their ears. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. I know I'm the communications director, but I don't. That's just too much for me.
I love trying to talk to someone when they have the earphones in, because you're talking to them just thinking they're not looking at you, but they're listening. Yeah. No, they haven't been listening the past 5 minutes.
It's really hard when it's obvious that you're wearing earbuds and somebody tries to talk to you.
Clearly not interested.
I'm doing something.
Yeah. But I talk to myself and I answer myself. Good. So I think that's why they all do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say that's not why, but I think it really is.
I hear you quite a bit.
Do you? Yeah.
Because my desk
is
just right outside.
And Jean doesn't even, she's not even near me and she hears me. So you can only imagine.
I love hearing you get fired up.
I do kind of get fired up. I yell a lot. It's a good yelling, though.
It is a good yelling.
Is this when you're talking to yourself or?
Both. I can be talking.
She kind of banters with herself.
I do.
Where she just like talks really fast and then she answers herself really fast and then oh, there's Karen.
Listen. Is it your voice that's on the Yukon Ho videos?
No.
No, it's not. Dang it.
They didn't need cheap talent.
I thought that was you. I always pictured that being you.
What did she say? Like, who was she? She was like an older woman, an old lady, a grandma.
That's why I was really impressed by your ability to do that. I was like, this is amazing.
If I remember, she was like a little old grandma.
Yeah, it was like, it was very much like an old pioneer prospector woman.
Do I sound like an old pioneer prospector
woman?
No,
that's why I was really impressed.
Oh.
You know, you guys didn't ever see the phenomena that was the Yukon Ho videos?
No, I've seen those. Because my friends are in them. What are the Yukon Ho videos? Are those for WSM or for
no,
they're for kids?
Kids
Connection.
Yeah,
Connection
like third through videos. Six or whatever. Yeah,
learning life lessons,
family
and
stuff,
the Wild West. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
like that. Speaking of family, Karen, tell us about your family.
Oh, look at that segue.
I didn't even need to do that.
Family.
I'm really good at this interviewing stuff.
Family. So married. My husband, he owns Sinlawn, which basically means he sells and installs fake grass.
Cool.
So we have a nice fake lawn out front. It's great. we have two kids. I had twins.
Awesome.
A few months into starting the well, actually started in October, had the kids in April, a little boy and a little girl. Jonah and Riley, and they just turned two.
That's awesome.
So it's rough. It's hard. It's hard. They're great. They're great, and I love them, but it's hard.
What's been the hardest stage of, like, when they were both, like, not on the same schedule, or when they're running around crazy two-year-olds, or?
Gosh, the hardest? There's so many. There's so many things. I don't even know what to say right now. Like, lately, they love throwing food on the floor, ooh, so that's hard. and so,
do they think they're funny?
They think they're hilarious. Yeah, which is funny because I think they hear mommy say she's hilarious, so then they think, oh, I need to be like mommy.
I once saw a 2020 or a Dateline or something about twins and how they can speak gibberish to each other and they understand what they're saying. Is that, do you see that?
I do see that. They don't necessarily do the gibberish, but they'll have conversations or look at each other or somehow there's like a sign or just an unspoken something and then they just go. So, the minute they're out of each other's sight, it's, where's Jonah? Where's Riley? Aww. You know, right now it's Jonah hit me, Riley hit me. Okay, but after that, then, you know, then they love each other. Then it's kisses and they have to sit in the same spot. And so, every day is pretty.
That'd be, I got 1-2-year-old and doing two, I can imagine. I'm just like, get away from each other. Stop touching each other.
Getting them in the car, that's hard right now too. So she's in the front seat honking the horn. He's like ripping down the little mirror flippy thing on the roof. And I'm in the back seat there in the front and I'm trying to like wrangle them in. And then they want to like negotiate. And,
so they're talking?
They're talking.
That's so fun.
They're talking.
That's fun. So, and you're a full-time worker.
And full-time
at the well. That's impressive, Karen.
Yeah.
Gives me hope for my future one day.
You can work and have kiddos.
I can work and have children.
You can't. I did do it later in life, which I am thankful for. So,
So you done? Is this it, the two and done?
We are done. My husband, during the ultrasound, looked at me and said, "We're done."
Great.
So I was 6 weeks, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. I'm pregnant, and he decided we were done about 9 weeks into it, and he said I was so horrible. Funny. I said, "It's been 9 weeks. Oh, you're horrible." I think I was an angel. He disagrees adamantly.
I would have to. I mean, I wasn't there, but. Uh-huh. The biggest reason that I feel like my wife and I are done is because, not because my wife is horrible, but our relationship was very strained. Like, it's stressful. Those first early years, it can be real stressful. I could probably have like 12 kids, but if I didn't have to maintain a relationship in the meantime, like, it'd be a great. What? You don't think I could have 12 kids?
Just because you think you'd be more emotionally stable, or what's the deal?
Well, why I would want to have 12
kids? You think having
kids?
A child is an easy task?
No.
Oh, you could like be the parent of 12.
Yeah.
And be fine with it.
But the parenting and being like the relationship between parent and child for us seemed very pretty good. Like, it's pretty fluid. But the relationship between mommy and daddy. During that early period was rough.
Yeah. Well, awesome.
It is hard. I remember one night we fought about like taking a bath. Like, they should take a bath. No, they just went in the pool. That's not a bath. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. So all the way home for 10 minutes, we fought about like this bath.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I get, yeah.
Which is like, okay, we need to decide as parents, like, if our kids, you know, if it's after 9, do they take a bath or not? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, well, maybe. Did they go in the pool? You know, some all these like, you know,
what
decisions.
Hills do we want to die on?
I got in trouble because my wife got up from a nap and, you know, admittedly, I wasn't paying attention to the kids while she was sleeping I was supposed to.
Yeah.
And so she wakes up and goes to the bathroom. She goes, "Whose poop is this?"
Oh.
There's like poop in the toilet. And
at least it was in the toilet.
Yeah.
Well, my kids. Annie's 2, and she will take her diaper off, and she'll, because my wife does this because it's less stinky, she'll take the, this is radio, and dump it in the toilet, and then, you know, fold it up and put it in the trash or whatever.
Behind the doors of the Tinkin household.
That's right, and it's just, I don't know if it's like a lesson to like, this is where poop goes, or whatever, but.
Huh. At least she knows it's in the toilet.
I'm like, I don't know whose poop it is. She's like, you were here, you didn't notice that one of them was gone.
Were you watching
and, like,
TV?
I was online. I was looking at YouTube videos, and it was, you know.
It's okay. That could be addicting.
Yeah, you get the links. And
yeah, and then you should watch this. You should watch this.
It's like in an inter- I was watching. I was deep into Inside the Actor's Studio.
Right.
There's a Jim Carrey interview. And I, somebody pooped, and I didn't know it.
So, Karen, was Sunday our only opportunity to tag, or do we have more opportunity?
No, we okay. Well, here's the cool, crazy, sort of rebellious answer. So you can still tag.
Okay,
we're gonna have the spray paint available every Wednesday night at midweek and Sunday all day until the city basically says
no more.
All right. So what about when there's no more space on the pillars?
Keep tagging. Just keep going. I think Brad said it the best. He said it's really cool just to mark the building. And if it's scripture over scripture over scripture, you know it's there. And even though it's covered up by others or painted over one day, it's pretty cool.
So. We want to make sure we're also not painting the building, just right, the pillars, correct?
Right. The stucco.
That is getting repainted. And for those who aren't sure what stucco is, there's huge red signs on the things you don't paint.
Exactly.
When I first saw the signs, I didn't quite read it. All I saw was something in English on the top, and I thought there was something in another language on the bottom.
Right.
And stucco. Well, all I saw was some, I don't know, I didn't really read it, I just glanced, and then I thought, wow, what other language are we providing here? Oh, that's English. All right, okay, all right, good.
I do that all the time.
And I thought, wow, we are just so sensitive to other cultures and languages here.
We're so kind.
Oh, no, we're just English. All right.
All right.
Anyways, on that note, Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You did great.
Thank you. Yeah. I was nervous.
I'm sure Christian will be very bummed that he was not here for this.
I'm kind of bummed that I'm the only guy here right now.
That's all right, Kev.
But you're a great guy.
There are other guys outside of the studio.
Yeah.
They are, and they're really in. They're really paying a lot of attention right now.
they are both turned away from this.
I don't feel bad for Christian, by the way, because he did not show up and tag the building. So I said,
"Oh,
there you go."
Yeah,
there
don't feel
go.
Bad.
Dead
for him.
To me.
Yeah,
there you go.
Really.
Anyways, next we have some announcements, and we're going to close out the show.
Great. All right.
Welcome back. Sorry you missed it, but we had a little musical mussing
interlude
of Daddy's hands.
Mussing?
Is that a word?
No.
It's mussing, right?
Musing.
Musing?
I don't know.
Dave Johnson played a little Daddy's hands for us, proved Kevin's point correct
Thank
that the
you.
Song does exist.
And Kevin did sing it for us.
It sounds like Dolly Parton, but I don't really know if that's who it was. Nope, Dave's saying no.
I don't even think that's the original.
Either way, it was Kevin was into it.
I was. I sang the whole thing. It's finally got. It's finally has got Ariel's song "Part of Your World" out of my head.
Yeah, you have
part
also
of
been
that
singing
world?
That.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Look at this stuff.
Isn't it neat?
To nuzz me back in your
head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now Daddy's hands are there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, you've got a spot out for us.
Yes. I wanted to say, hey, Megan Jade.
Hi, Meg.
You gasped like you didn't know what was going to happen.
It was like a surprise.
I just wanted to say you're my friend, and you're my friend. So let's be friends.
Oh, Megan Jade. For those of you who are before the Megan Jade era, Megan was the co-host before I came on. Mm-hmm. So we do miss her. She's quite funny, and she loved the news. So...
I miss the news.
We do miss the news, but
Kevin, we used to have the news.
Kevin doesn't
Tinkin.
Miss the news.
I don't miss the news. It was always rough.
Yeah,
but I thought it was hilarious.
It was
a time for you to shine.
Moments. Yeah,
It did have its moments. So we want to just give the email address and all that to everyone listening in case you want to write in with how the sermon series is affecting you or things that you've learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you really want to spout out, we can give you a spout out for yourself.
Or if you'd like to record yourself singing Daddy's Hands,
please send it our way.
Send it to Kevin. So you can email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Woo!
Look us up on Facebook at Facebook/Spoutcast. Check out our Instagram
at The Spoutcast.
Yay. Or Twitter at
The Spoutcast.
People, they'll find it. Just do a search. Google it.
Yeah, that's true. We do want to maybe give just a small spout out. This will be short, but to Christian, our fearless leader, because he was missed. Oh, Daddy's Hands. He's Daddy. So, Christian, hopefully you are proud of the show that we put on for everyone, and you'll let us do it again. And Danny, make sure you email him and let him know how well we did. So, this is a spout, and we are out.
See you next week, Dave Sather.
See you next week, Dave Sather.
Under the autumn tree, the chair where you're so far away, comfort me. A man that resembles me, watching his young lady sleep. Now from earth.